Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read you the same parable three times. The message today is birds in the branches. Matthew chapter 13. I'm reading all three accounts of this parable. It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke to show you how there are different details, even though it's the same parable given in each distinct gospel. So see if you can notice these distinctions. They're slight, but they're there. We're going to read starting at verse 31 when we start, but first, inasmuch as there are seven parables and a parabolic illustration in this chapter, and the Lord Jesus gives assistance on four of these, he doesn't interpret the other four. And because of that, you have to interpret the four he does not explain in the light of the four that he does explain. And so for that reason, I'm going to give you in advance part of the interpretation of this parable of the birds and the branches. Look at verse 37. He's explaining the parable of the wheat and the tares. We're going to have to understand that to interpret what we're going to consider today. And he answered and said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So you say, well, the one who is a man sowing the seed is the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man. Good. It says, and the field is the world. So the field is the world. And the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. Will you remember that? The good seed, the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the wicked one, the evil one, the sons of the devil. And the enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are angels. These are the symbols that have been interpreted for us. So keeping that in mind, let's start now at verse 31. We're going to read this other parable that he doesn't explain to us. Another parable set he before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is less than all seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the heaven come and lodge in the branches thereof. Birds in the branches. You say, well, I didn't hear any explanation about birds. No. So what we're going to do is look back now at verse 4 of chapter 13. So there will be no controversy. We'll see what the Savior gives us the interpretation. It says, as he sowed, verse 4, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. The birds came and devoured them. Verse 18. Hear then ye the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the evil one, the devil, the wicked one, and snatcheth away that which hath been sown in his heart. You say, why, so much of it has already been explained. Why, of course it has. And that's the only way that you can safely interpret the word of God, by the interpretation that the Savior gives. All right. Now, let's read, starting at verse 31 again, and keep all of these interpretations in mind, and it will begin to unfold. 13:31, another parable set he before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is less than all seeds, But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the heaven come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, Mark chapter 4. We're going to read the same thing. That's almost identical, but slight variation. Mark chapter 4. And look at verse 30. And he said, how shall we liken the kingdom of God, or in what parable shall we set it forth? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown upon the earth, though it is less than all the seeds that are upon the earth, yet when it is sown, groweth up, and becometh greater than all the herbs, and putteth out great branches, so that the birds of the heaven can lodge under the shadow thereof. So it grew to be a great tree, and it put out great branches, and the birds come and lodge under the shadow of those branches. Now Luke 13, let's look at Luke 13 and see how the tale that he gives us, and then we'll look at these birds and the branches. Luke chapter 13, verse 18. He said unto them, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I liken it? It is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his own garden. And it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the heaven lodged in the branches thereof. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, the entrance of thy word giveth light. We thank you that with the help of thy spirit, that was spoken in the Psalms of them of old is true of us today. And we desire to know the things that only you can explain to us. What do we know about heaven and hell and the unseen world of ourselves? We know nothing. But Father, thy Son came and told us of all these things. And he himself said, the words that I speak unto you are not my own, but the Father's who sent me. We are thankful for an explanation from heaven of the things that pertain to the soul of man. And we pray that we shall take heed of what we've read and be enabled by thy Spirit to understand, and then, Father, see the danger and act upon the teachings of thy Son. We thank you for all the blessings. Father, how great they are, the material blessings, the spiritual blessing this day of having a Bible, to be able to read from it, to be free to come and hear the Word of God. We thank you for this. For every blessing, we thank you. And we look to thee now, Father, for fruitfulness from our gathering together. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If I started talking to you about birds, I could legitimately give you a threefold interpretation of birds as found in the Word of God. The threefold interpretation is this. At times, the birds are simply birds in a neutral sense. At times, the birds are birds in an evil sense. And at times, the birds are birds in a good sense. You say, well, how can that be? Well, let me show you how birds are just birds, but a picture of the care of God. The Lord Jesus said, consider the birds of the heaven. Consider the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither gather into barns, yet your Father feedeth them. You say, that's beautiful. Well, of course it is. It's God caring for his creation. That's a neutral interpretation. They're just birds, and God takes care of those birds. But if he's going to take care of those birds, will he not take care of you? Aren't you of more value than many birds? You say, yes. And so, we could have that interpretation, but we're not going to use it. And let me show you a positive interpretation of birds in a good sense. Psalm 84 says, "How lovely are thy dwellings, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found her a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord God of hosts." Now that's beautiful. Here we are. We are as helpless and as homeless as little sparrows, as swallows, and yet the psalmist had seen these birds, and they had made nests in the temple of God. And so here is a picture of a needy sinner, and he is invited by God to come and be at home in his house. You say, well, that's beautiful. Of course it is. But I tell you those things, and perhaps someday I will preach to you from the Sermon on the Mount in Psalm 84 and tell you good things about birds. But it's like the lion. The lion is a picture of Christ, and the lion is a picture of Satan. It says in 1 Peter 5, "Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour." So you say, well, anytime we see a lion, we're thinking about the devil. No. Because the Lord Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So you must take the interpretation in the passage in which it's found. And you must accept the interpretation that the Savior has given to it. And having given the interpretation, you do not depart from it in that passage unless he tells you to depart from it. So now, what we're going to do is to look at the birds in this parable about birds in the branches and interpret the way the Lord says. He told us what those birds were in the first place. They are representative of satanic activity. Always in these parables that Christ spoke in Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 13, you'll find that these birds represent satanic activity. For this reason, the man, the Lord Jesus, sowed seed, and the seed is the Word of God. And right now, the Word of God is going into your heart, and Satan is just waiting to snatch it out of your heart. The Lord Jesus illustrated it by saying, some seed that fall by the wayside. Why, they don't even make an entrance, a deep entrance into the heart. And the birds of the air come and snatch away those seeds. They swallow them up. And so here is a man who comes to a meeting like this, and I explain clearly that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. But he goes home and says, I wonder what I have to do to be saved. The only thing that's happened is that Satan has snatched out of his heart the Word of God. You say, satanic activity? Yes. So we have, in these parables in Matthew 13, constantly the activity of the Son of God and the activity, the counteractivity of the devil. The Lord Jesus sows good seed that men might be saved. The devil comes and takes away those seeds that men might not believe and be saved. The Lord Jesus sows wheat in his field. The devil comes and sows tares in that same field. The Lord Jesus, in speaking of that which is pure and to remain undefiled, speaks about meal, good meal. But notice, not a man this time. But a woman comes and hides in it leaven, until it's all leaven. You have the activity of the Savior, and you have the activity of the devil. Now, having told you that again and again and again, what would you expect when the Lord Jesus takes a single mustard seed and plants it in the field. What do you look for? You say, well, all these other times, you've looked for satanic activity. And that's exactly what you get. Now, we found from our Savior himself that the birds represented Satan. When the word of God is sown in the heart, then cometh the evil one and snatcheth away that which has been sown in his heart. And I know it's not Satan himself. Why? Because Satan would be one place at one time. But he has myriads of followers. And so it is satanic activity. It is not one bird that comes and snatches away the seed in one heart. But it says the birds of the heaven. He's the prince of the power of the air. So when you have these birds coming down, you have satanic activity. Keep that in mind. And so for that reason, here is the Lord Jesus, and he sowed one mustard seed in his field. You say, well, Satan isn't there. Why? It grows, it develops, becomes a tree, puts out great branches, and then the birds of the heaven come and lodge in the branches. Those birds have nothing to do with that tree. Those birds have nothing to do with the seed. What farmer wants the birds to come and gobble up the seed that he sows? You say, no farmer does. Those birds have no place there. And these birds have no place in the branches of the trees in Matthew 13. Now, what we're going to do is to see the development of the activity of Satan once the Lord Jesus starts his work. First of all, he tries to prevent the work of Jesus Christ from ever bearing fruit by taking the word away as soon as he sows it. And if he can't get it out at first, I told you in past weeks that he sends temptations and the word is choked, and at the same time, it falls on rocky places and it can't get root in the ground, and when the sun comes up, it's withered away. So every time that the Savior is trying to have a crop, Satan is trying to ruin that crop. But thank God, in some of the cases, the seed falls on good ground and brings forth fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Thank God for that. And in some cases, when the Lord Jesus sows wheat in the field, the wheat is going to grow and come to fruition, even though there are tares growing in that field. So notice satanic activity, but what is frightening is this, is that it wouldn't be so bad if when Christ worked, Satan had to come from the outside and work and then go his way. But in these parables, he is getting closer and closer and closer, and the church is unaware of it. So, the gospel is preached, and souls aren't saved. The Lord Jesus said, the birds of the air gobbled up the seeds. That's why they didn't get saved. One of the reasons. And now, this. Here is the Savior, and he sows seed in the field. Understand that the field is the world. It's not the church. The field is the world. And so the Lord Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so the Lord Jesus sows seed in his field. And Satan says, well, I'm going to sow my tares in that same field. And you will have one group preaching the truth of God. One person, a true child of God, a son of the kingdom. And right next to him, not in the church, but in the field, in the world, right next to him, you'll have a minister of Satan. In Goldsboro, you'll have some that are preaching the word of God, and up the street, you'll have some that are preaching the doctrines of the devil. They're not, thank God, in this parable, in the same place, but they're in the same world, and they're going to stay there until the harvest. You say, well, at least we are safe. You've got Satan on that corner, and you've got Christ on this corner. That's fine. But now, when the Savior sows the mustard seed, and please understand this, anything that the Savior sows is genuine and real. When he sows the wheat, that is the Word of God. And then the Word of God, when it fully develops in the heart of man, becomes a son of God, a son of the kingdom. So wheat is the Word of God, and then its development into a child of God. But now notice, the wheat that's sown, the seed, they're individuals. He sowed seed in his field, individual. But this is not a multitude of seeds, but he took one seed and he sowed it in his field. And that seed represents the true sons of the kingdom. Understand, the true sons of the kingdom. Because it is not one little thing that's looked at, but it is the entirety that Christ is looking at. Now, what he does is this. In parable after parable, he will show us a similar thing, but in two ways. When he sows many seed, those are the sons of the kingdom as individuals. But when he sows one seed, those are the sons of the kingdom collectively. He does the same thing when he preaches about the treasure found in a field. You open a treasure and you have silver and gold and jewels. Here's a treasure, but it's made up of various parts. That, it also says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking good pearls. When he found one pearl, you say, why, that's one thing. Yes, one unit representing the whole, whereas in the treasure, they're looked at as individual things. So in like manner, when the Savior sows good seed in his field, those are the sons of the kingdom, individual sons of the kingdom. But when he sows one seed, these are the sons of the kingdom collectively looked at. You say, well, then that mustard seed that was sown are the sons of the kingdom in their development, in their growth, in the progress they make in the world. Yes, because the field is the world. And that mustard seed was sown the same place that the wheat seed was sown, in the world. So here is that mustard seed looked at collectively as the people of God, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and becomes a tree, and it puts out great branches. You say, well, that's good. It's the worst thing that could possibly happen. For this reason, a mustard seed is supposed to remain a little bush. The Lord Jesus spoke of his followers, fear not, little flock. But if you have a little flock, and then it is interspersed with that which does not belong to the flock, that's not a good thing. It's a bad thing. And in like manner, because I'll anticipate this, when you have that pure meal, and then leaven is put into it, or that meal is contaminated. And when you have this little mustard seed that is to remain small and select and exclusive, only God's children are to be there, it's defiled when the birds of the heaven, satanic representatives, come and they lodge in the branches of that tree. Now do you see what has happened? Here is Satan on the outside coming first and snatching something out of the heart of man. And then here is Satan when Christ sows his seed in the field. Satan comes and sows his tares. Well, still, he's over there. But now, here is Christ's representative. Here are the sons of the kingdom. And the birds of the air come and intermingle in the branches. That is heartbreaking, and that is ruinous, because they have no place there at all. It's one thing, as in Psalm 84, for a needy, helpless creature to come and find refuge in God's altars. But it's another thing for Satan to be admitted into the very presence of that which represents the sons of the kingdom. That is a tragic thing, and that is what has happened in the world today. The Lord never wanted it that way. Let me tell you something funny that happened to me. I was up in the mountains, and of all things, we rent a house that has pillars holding up the front porch, wooden pillars, and I heard this tapping, 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 and I looked out, and it wasn't a red-headed woodpecker, but a little bird. And he had pecked and pecked and pecked, and he had pecked a hole in the woodwork, and he was going to make a nest there. And so I said to the landlord, I said, there's a little bird pecking a hole in your house. What should I do? He said, shoo him away. That seemed elementary, didn't it? And so I went out and shooed that bird away. Now, tell me, do you want birds coming, pecking holes in your house? You're saying, no, I don't. Why, of course not. And the presence of these birds in the branches is for a twofold purpose. It's not a purpose of God, but it's the purpose of Satan. It says two things. It says they are under the shadow thereof, and that means under the protection of the shadow that is cast by that tree. And it says they lodge in the branches. And what is so interesting is this. If you look at it in the original, the word lodge in the branches is the same word that is translated elsewhere. The birds of the air have nests. And the birds come and lodge, and they make their nests in the branches of this tree. Notice, they're not a part of that mustard seed that's become a tree. Not a part of it. In fact, if they live there and have their nest there and they enjoy the shadow of it, it means that this mustard seed has become of such a size that it never should have become, that now that which represents Satan and his associates can come and feel right at home among the sons of the kingdom. This should not be for this reason. I hope that everyone who is a sinner, who comes to this place when we are preaching the gospel, has his heart touched and says, why, these people want me to become saved. But at the same time, if someone feels at ease to come and be in perfect fellowship with us, be one with us without ever being born again, then that is a tragedy. For this reason, the early church was so holy, so devoted to the Lord, that it says in Acts chapter 5 that when Ananias and Sapphira lied and played the hypocrite, they were stricken dead by the judgment of God. And it said the world saw it, and nobody dared join himself to them. Now, you think that if all of us Christians lived as the Lord Jesus would have us to live, and we had holy, pure lives, that sinners who did not want to be saved, but wanted to be religious, could come and be among us and feel right at home? There's something wrong. When sinners can come and feel right at home without being born again. And this is what has happened. Because the church, notice that that mustard seed is true and genuine. The church is what Christ has made it. That it's become something that he never wanted it to be. And having become something he did not want it to be, even though the birds that come, they can't make themselves part of that mustard growth, that they can at least lodge there, they can build a nest there, they can dwell under the shadow there, and some people can't distinguish between the birds and the mustard growth itself. And that's a sad thing. And that is why I'm concerned about myself. If someone is around me and they feel perfectly at ease to curse and sin and pay no mind, let me say this. I say it with humility, and I never understood it. Years ago, I used to play golf, And when I got through, I came into the clubhouse, and the men were sitting around the table, and they were drinking whiskey. And one man that knew me said, "I'm not drinking any whiskey." They said, "Why?" He said, "That man is a representative of the Lord. I just tell you that because, thank God, somehow the Lord had made it possible that he knew that I had abandoned all of those things that he was indulging in. And simply my presence there made him say, I'm not drinking anymore." And also, there are times when there was profanity and evil stories being told, and you'll come up, and suddenly they'll stop being told. Others are so brazen, they'll try to tell stories to embarrass you. You have to figure out from God how to behave in that respect. But there should be holiness that becomes us. There should be humility that becomes us. And there should be a smallness and a littleness that becomes us, that the Lord Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock." That's what he wants. Now, some people would say, "Look, we could fill this place with people if we did so and so. You could fill this place with people. Thank God if there are sinners wanting to be saved, but you could fill this place with people that say, we are Christians as well as you are, and we'll tell you how to live, and we'll tell you what you should do." That's what would happen. And this is what the Lord does not want. And so Satan has finally succeeded in infiltrating the church. First, he kept souls from being saved by snatching the seed. Then, he planted imitations throughout the whole world, the tares next to the wheat. It's getting worse. But now, he has his representatives to come and lodge in the branches of the tree, a mustard seed becoming a tree with great branches, something it never should be. Lodging in those branches, building nests, being under the shadow thereof, the very church, protecting it. And that is a sacrilege. Now, what else he's done is this. I told it to you in other weeks, but I'm going to tell you again now. Here is the meal. You would think that it's bad enough for those birds to simply be in that mustard growth. But now it's more than that. They are not only there, but instead of the mustard growth controlling them, they start influencing that in which they lodge. And that is pictured in the meal, which is probably Christ's meal. You make it into bread, or it's the people of God, or the person of Christ, for this reason. It said, "We being many are one loaf." That is, we are bread, and Christ is bread. The loaf we broke earlier, it's a picture of Christ, his body, but we are the body of Christ. It's looked at two ways. And so now here you have meal. You have three measures of meal. And leaven is put into that meal until the whole is leavened. And so the church is affected morally and doctrinally and influentially. It's affected in all of those ways. And now Satan's work is complete, and he's rejoicing. Now, the Lord says, "Leave those tares alone. They're in the world. But when those that are representatives of Satan come into the church, we have to put them out." It says in 1 Corinthians 5 concerning drunkards and concerning fornicators and extortioners and covetous and idolaters. It says, put that wicked one away from you. What we have to do is to realize when these birds come in, if they're sinners and want to be saved, welcome them. But if they are not that, or if somehow Satan has influenced the lives of the true children of God, the Lord says, get rid of them. But what happens now is that somehow we say, God is love, Christ is love, and so let them come and dwell under the shadow of the church. Never do not admit fornication. Do not admit drunkenness. Do not admit lying and stealing and corruption. Keep it out. God says, keep that out. But if they come to be rid of that in their lives, to be saved, welcome them here. But let them not as the birds of the heaven come and lodge in the branches thereof. And so there are some things that Christ says we cannot do. You're not to uproot the tares, but you are to cast out the wicked things from the church. So let us realize that the devil is the enemy of men's souls, that he's coming whenever Christ is at work, and he has success, and his success seems to get larger and larger and more widespread. I used to think it was in the denominations, but now I've seen it among those who gather to the name of the Lord himself, and little is being done about it. So remember these things. The one who comes is the devil. He's the enemy of men's souls, and he will destroy us if he can. Beware. Let us pray. Now, Father, we thank you for your Son. We are thankful that though we are unaware of what causes all these things, thy Son is aware of them, and he has told us, and therefore we're responsible to be aware. Lord, let us not desire to be some big thing that your Son never wanted us to be, to extend branches to places that he never wanted it to be, and to give shelter to those that are not of God, but of Satan. Give us discernment to know. Let us personally be pure in heart, so that people dare not join themselves to us. Let us not be so carnal that they feel right at home with us, but let them feel love and a desire to be saved, being new creatures in Christ Jesus. So hear us and look upon us and bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.